Ephesians chapter 1, verses 13b to 14. God's gracious salvation security to preserve us forever. After describing the process by which God qualifies us believers for his messianic kingdom in Ephesians 1, 7 to 13a, Paul explained God's gracious salvation security that preserves us for eternity in Ephesians 1, 13b to 14, so that we can be assured of participating in his millennial kingdom and in heaven with him. So we then view the passage for our insight and edification. I want to read the verses and then we'll look at them. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 13b to 14. In whom after that you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. The word earnest there is actually the modern Greek word for an engagement ring. It's the earnest, it's a promise of a future event that is going to occur. It's very interesting. Having clarified in Ephesians 1, 7 to 13a, how God has marvelously qualified us believers in Christ to participate in Christ's future millennial kingdom, which kingdom is revealed in Revelation chapter 20, verses 1 to 6. Remember, where those who were slain or beheaded for the cause of Christ in the great tribulation are brought to life, they're resurrected, and they rule and reign with Christ for 1,000 years. And of course, we're going to be there. And all the saints of the Old Testament, they're going to be there as well. It's going to be a wonderful time. Well, anyway, Paul then addressed God's gracious work to preserve us believers in our salvation status, so we will assuredly be able to enter the millennial kingdom. The point is this: what good is it if God wants us to get into the kingdom, but there's no security that we're actually going to make it because we're still sinners, we still have sin natures and so forth. So why go through all the process of preparing us for the messianic kingdom, but hardly anybody makes it, or nobody makes it, because we all sin? In fact, the Bible tells us in Ephesians 1, verses 8 through 10, that we all sin. In fact, as believers, if we don't sin, if we say we don't sin, we lie. That the truth is not in us. So eternal security is a tremendous need. I was privileged when I was a student at Dallas Seminary to do my master's thesis in part on the sealing of the Spirit, these two verses and passage in 1 Corinthians. So it was a wonderful privilege to study this. Well, the need for such salvation security is seen in viewing the theological problems of sin that we still face. We believers still possess sin natures. 1 John chapter 1, verse 8. Let me just briefly look at that here. And 1 John chapter 1, verse 8 says, "But if we," that's believers, "say that we have no sin," that's no sin nature, "we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us." So don't let anybody tell you. There are some Christians who actually believe in the eradication of the sin nature, that you can become holy to the point that you eradicate your sin nature so you live an absolutely sinless life. Well, we never eradicate the sin nature in this life. The sin is overcome. The sin nature is overcome at the rapture of the church, or the believer's physical death, whichever comes first, that's for sure. Thus, all believers have committed acts of sin since they've trusted in Christ. 1 John 1:10 says, "If we say that we have not sinned," that's the act of sin, "we make him," that make God, "a liar, and his word is not in us." So that's a problem that we have. We all have sin natures, and we all have sinned as believers. Now, 1 John 1:9 says, "If we confess our acts of sin performed as believers, God forgives us our sins and cleanses us from all the unrighteousness we, in our level of immaturity, may not have even realized at the time were wrongs." It's interesting how complete God is. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just not only to forgive us those sins, but to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Normally, when a believer sins, there are a couple of things that are wrong. The sin itself is wrong, but he was probably out of fellowship already with the Lord, or he might have bought into the worldliness and the world that is around him that led him to the sin in the first place. So when we confess our sins, God is gracious. He not only cleans up the sin, but he cleans up all the unrighteousness that led to that. And of course, as we grow in the Lord, we get to learn more about those other areas, and we can cover them, but he's very gracious the way he handles us. However, one may wonder if the rapture occurs just after he has committed an act of sin, but before he has had a chance to confess it to the Lord, if it will cause him to miss out on the rapture and so end up in hell. Many years ago, my mother and father were involved in a church. They were actually visiting a church, and they stayed in a couple's home. And in the couple's home, they prayed, and every time they prayed at the meal, the man would pray and he'd say, "And God, save us in the end. In Jesus' name, amen." This is after thanking the Lord for the food and everything. And Dad gotten to wonder, what are you talking about? What do you say, save us in the end? Well, they didn't believe in eternal security. They believed that you could know the Lord for as your Savior for 50 years and then sin, and you know, 5 seconds after you sin, before you had a chance to confess it, you'd die, then you'd go to hell. So they were living in constant fear that they might lose their salvation, so they kept praying. Every time they asked the blessing, they kept praying and asking God to save them in the end. Be gracious and save us in the end. Give us an opportunity to confess it. So they were living in fear. Well, to provide unconditional salvation security, God has provided the ministry of the sealing of the believer with the person of God, the Holy Spirit, at justification, as described in Ephesians 1:13b-14. Now, often when we talk about the Spirit of God, we're talking about the Holy Spirit. He's talking about a person, but he's God. Remember in Acts chapter 5, verses 3 and 4 there, where Ananias had sinned against the Lord, and Peter said, "You've lied to the Holy Spirit," and lying to the Holy Spirit, you're not lying to men, you've lied to God. And so the Apostle Peter there revealed that the Holy Spirit is God. The Holy Spirit who comes and he seals you and me in our hearts, and his presence is the seal. He's God, God the Holy Spirit. So Almighty God is the one who seals us. Now, the teaching of this passage uses an illustration of a business practice that Paul's Ephesians readers knew well. Timber workers would transport logs they had cut from the forests around Ephesus, tugging them as floats in the water to the harbor of Ephesus to be sold to traveling buyers there. Now, when the timber workers sold the log floats, the buyers would seal these floats with their personal seals, demonstrating their ownership of the floats that they had purchased. Now, these buyers would then leave the sealed log floats in the harbor, and they would return back to their home ports to acquire the shipping that they needed so they could come return on the day of redemption to tow their floats back to their home ports. But all the while that they were away, those seals would be on those log floats. And woe betide anybody that decided to haul off those log floats. They had the owner's seal on them. You better leave them alone. There was a legal situation that was all. And Paul used this picture about the sealing of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is sealing us until God comes and gets his shipping and tugs us home. That's in the rapture of the church, so to speak. Now, it's interesting there that the King James Version claims that this sealing would occur after Paul's readers had believed, which translation can be understood to be a time period later than one's being justified by faith, as in charismatic theology. You see, the charismatics believe that you're sealed with the Holy Spirit after you speak in tongues. So you have to not only believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior, but that at a period of time later, maybe it could be 6 months later, it could be 6 years, 7 years later, you get into service, then you speak in tongues. Then when you speak in tongues, then you're sealed with the Holy Spirit. So you don't have eternal security of any kind until you speak in tongues. But even the charismatic believes that you can still lose your salvation and break the seal. So, you know, what good is the seal? The Greek word is an aorist participle pistousantes. It comes from the Greek word pistuo, which means to believe. Pistousantes means having believed. Now, that may reflect a temporal relationship, namely, and you can translate it after that you believed. But more likely, it is a logical relationship, and you would translate it, having believed, you were sealed with the Spirit of God. Since in Paul's allusion to the business transaction in Ephesus presents the log floats as having nothing to do with their sealing, only the buyers doing that, we should view the participle as bearing a logical relationship, meaning one is sealed by God the instant he trusts in Christ. Now, that's an amazing thing. The instant an individual believes in Jesus Christ as his Savior, there are 33 things that happen to him as far as his position in Christ is concerned. But on top of those things, you're sealed with the Spirit of God. Now, the beauty of this sealing is that it's forever. In John chapter 14, Jesus said, I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit, and he shall abide with you forever. When you're sealed with the Spirit, let's say you get close to physical death, let's say you go through a traumatic experience, you're going to die of cancer or heart disease or something like that, or a car accident, you know, anything can happen. Well, the Holy Spirit's sealing is with you, and the comforting ministry of the Holy Spirit is with you and takes with you as your soul leaves your body. And as you go home to be with the Lord, the same Spirit is there. He's ministering to you, comforting you, encouraging you as you go. And then when the rapture occurs, he's coming back with you, and he's in your body, and in your translated body, then you go back to heaven. 10 trillion years from now, the Holy Spirit is still sealing you. Isn't that neat? This is a gift from God. The presence of the Holy Spirit indwelling us and sealing us is a tremendous gift from the Lord. The sealing is unto the day of redemption. You'll notice in Ephesians chapter 1, it says, verse 14, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the day of redemption, until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30, actually talks about the day of redemption. And stop grieving the Holy Spirit, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. When's the day? The day is the rapture of the church, when God comes to take us to be with him in glory. So, and that day of redemption, Romans 8:23, talks about the redemption of the body. That's the when we get our glorified body. So the sealing is unto the day of redemption. What Ephesians 4:30 and Romans 8:23 indicate is the rapture of the church when Christ returns to take the believer home to his heaven. So, furthermore, John 14:16 indicates that the seal lasts forever, that it will never cease throughout eternity. That's a priceless passage. I want to look at that. John chapter 14, verse 16. And I will pray the Father, this is Jesus speaking, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it sees him not, neither knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and shall be in you. In the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit dwelled with them, and after the day of Pentecost, he was dwelling in them. Verse 18, I will not leave you literally orphaned. Comfortless actually should be the word orphanos. We get the word orphan from it. I will not leave you as orphans, I will come to you. So the Holy Spirit is a parent. He comes and he indwells us as a holy parent. And this is a wonderful truth for a Christian parent to know. If your child knows Jesus Christ as his Savior, that child is actually indwelt by a parent, God. And God, the Holy Spirit, indwells him and is with him. So long after you're gone, you go to glory and everything, that child still has a parent working there. The Holy Spirit. And boy, does he work. And he does a marvelous job. So this seal also is the earnest of our inheritance, which is an evidential foretaste of the blessings of eternity. Like I said, the word earnest here is translated in the Greek. It's the modern word for an engagement ring. And an engagement ring is a promise. The promise that there's going to be a wedding. It's in the future. And the groom is going to say, I do at that point. Hopefully he doesn't break his promise, stays with it. But the Holy Spirit himself is an earnest. What is an earnest? Earnest money is the money that you pay when you're buying a house. You put the money down, and the money is proof positive that you mean business. Now, I believe the earnest money is non-refundable. It's been a while since I bought a house. But I believe it's a non-refundable thing, and it goes directly to the owner of the house. And that's evidence, you know, it's, I don't know, $1,500 or whatever it is. It's evidence that the buyer means business. And he's going to back that up with putting the down payment and so forth and getting the money from the bank. All of that is very, very important. Well, the Holy Spirit is the earnest. When the Holy Spirit comes within us and he produces the love, the joy, the peace, all these qualities, that's God's proof positive that your salvation is real. And that's designed to comfort us and encourage us that this is real. This is not fake. This is not artificial. This salvation is the real McCoy. There's been a change in our hearts and our lives, and that should give us tremendous confidence. And it also helps us to witness effectively for the Lord, because if we know the Spirit of God is within us and we have salvation, we can tell the unsaved person who doesn't believe in Christ, that salvation is real and everything. You can say, look, I know this is real. I know the Lord. I relate to him all the time in my life, not because of anything good that I've done, but he's been tremendous to me. He's so real in my life. And that's what the world needs to see, is the genuine witness of the power of the Spirit of God in us. So the lesson is, having determined that we believers in Christ will participate in his future millennial kingdom, God has graciously, unconditionally sealed us with the God, the Holy Spirit, marking us as his possession until the rapture and giving us a foretaste of eternal blessings, that God might take us to heaven and prepare us for his kingdom. So may we realize that God has unconditionally secured us in our salvation status by the sealing of the Holy Spirit the instant we trust in Christ, that we might surely stay saved for the millennial kingdom and forever. Today, after the worship service, I was talking with a couple of believers. I'm counting about five believers where this pertains to. And these are believers who they have had close relatives that don't know Jesus Christ as their Savior. And they were sharing with me how real their faith was, or they were asking questions, theological questions that we had either in the adult Sunday school class or the worship service this morning. And in each case, I was struck by the fact that these are people who really believe the truth of the Word of God, in spite of even close relatives around them that absolutely don't have anything to do with the Lord. In fact, one man told me he had a brother, did not know Jesus Christ as his Savior, was not interested, and his brother had recently died. And he said, I was trying to deal with that, and then I read in a passage where Jesus calls me brother. Now, it's amazing. We're never supposed to call Jesus brother, because we always call him Lord. But our Savior turns around and he looks at us and he calls us brethren. These are my brethren. And that's an amazing thing. And he says, amazing, God calls me, Jesus calls me his brother. So I got a really neat brother, you know, because he calls me brother. And he was just feasting on that, and the Lord was using that to comfort him over the loss of his unsaved brother. You know, when I see that to me is evidence. The Holy Spirit is in these people who share these testimonies like this, because from every human perspective, there's no reason why they should be believers or even at Nepog Church. You look at the backgrounds for where some of our people have come from. No encouragement at all to believe in Jesus Christ as their Savior, but they're here. How do you explain it? It's the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is in them, and they are sealed. They are saved. And that's a tremendous joy. And if you've seen the change in your life and in your heart, you have the evidence of the Holy Spirit within you, that is also proof positive and evidence that you're sealed, that you have eternal security. Because God would not give you his Holy Spirit unless he meant to take you home to glory. And that's a wonderful truth. So keep that in mind. Every time the Holy Spirit demonstrates his presence in your life, that's another proof positive from the Lord that he is going to take you home and he is going to make sure that you stay saved. And that is supposed to cause us to praise the Lord and to relax in the Lord. This couple, my parents, realized that they were constantly living in fear of losing their salvation because they kept praying, asking God to save them in the end. And it had actually stunted their growth. They were living in such morbid fear of losing their salvation, they weren't maturing in the Lord. But we can actually mature. If we relax in Christ and we recognize that we have that salvation, we have the Holy Spirit, we can relax and put a period and move on in regards to the issue of salvation security, and then just grow in him. That's what God wants us to do.